Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 82, page 216.
In the Diary of Fate.
Yes, here it is. The name Hendrik Potanoff. A man of singular purpose and great tenacity of will, who used these talents to bring about his own destruction. He had his choice, as have all mortals. And because of a little thing, a letter he caused to be held up in delivery, Hendrik Potanoff came to know the real meaning of fate. His life record lies open before me, and for a moment, I, fate, look to a single horrible incident.
There, you lousy screw. I hope it killed you. Go fast. Night's weak. Awful dark. The door. Cover up the incline. The sunlight. My eyes. Blinding me.
Halt! Halt!
Hendrik! Where are you, Hendrik?
Yes, Hendrik Potanoff, you had a choice, and your decision was for evil. Soon it'll be time to write the final entry in the record of Hendrik Potanoff. And when I have written, I shall read from his page in The Diary of Fate. Prison, Hendrik Potanoff has been credited with 22 years of payment on his debt to society. He is scheduled to be paroled soon. But 7,000 nights have not bred repentance in his heart. 22 years of resentment at confinement are symbolized in his hate of Sarah Hetty.
If it hadn't been for Sarah refusing to testify that she was with me that night, if it hadn't been for Sarah's jealousy of Molly, if it hadn't been for Sarah.
Hey, Hendrik.
Yeah? I've been listening to that every night for nearly 21 years. But only 30 more times till I get out.
Like the hand agreed by the front doctor's feet again, eh?
Yeah. Dummy. You hear the bull coming.
15202.
Yeah.
Oh, Hendrik. A letter for you tonight.
Do I ever get letters?
No. I guess not. Too bad about Sweet getting shot trying to escape today.
Sure, they come and go. Sweet was only here 8 years. Hardly time for a shave and a haircut.
Quiet now!
Been for Sarah's love. If it hadn't been for Sarah Hetty.
Yes, to Hendrik Potanoff, even freedom meant only one thing. An opportunity for revenge on Sarah Hetty. His decision for evil was 3,000 times confirmed. Nightly he warmed his hate at memory's fire. Recalled again with bitter recrimination, a courtroom scene of more than 20 years before.
Gentlemen of the jury, you've heard the evidence against the defendant. You now retired to the jury room and return to the feast of the
Why wouldn't she testify, Molly? Wouldn't she do that for you, her sister?
No. I got down on my knees and begged her.
Well, she could save my neck. Did she tell him why I shot him? And that she was with me?
Oh, she's jealous because you married me instead of her. She claims she stayed home alone that night.
Oh, she lies. That was the night I took her out purposely to break the news that you and I had got married.
Now she wouldn't admit it anyway. She just couldn't have been out with a man now being tried for murder. Only a week before she married John Hedrick, the banker.
She sure decided to marry him off of sudden.
She doesn't love him. She married him for spite after you married me.
She just admitted it was a stick-up. And that Carver threatened us while we were parked. They'd call it justifiable homicide and I'd go free.
Even though they proved that you had trouble with Carver before?
Oh, sure, that was just a coincidence. He was just a cheap stick-up on. He didn't know it was me in that car until he shoved his face through the window.
And once he'd seen that you had recognized him, then it was you or him.
Well, of course. I let him have it before he could drill me.
Oh, darling. You just hadn't driven her home before you reported to the police station.
Well, it seemed natural, though, because she was boiling madly already, and the shooting made her hysterical. I figured she'd corroborate my story when the time came.
She wouldn't. And especially not now. It would ruin her social position.
Her social position? Against a life sentence for me.
Hendrick, would it do any good to let people know about our marriage?
No, no, baby. But they don't know what happened. If I do take a rest, and they knew, you'd be labeled as the wife of a killer.
I wouldn't care, darling. Believe me.
I know it, Molly, but in case I am convicted, you can do me more good as the unmarried sister of the influential John Hedrick. Now, don't let anybody know about our marriage.
Well, then you think you will be convicted?
I'm afraid so. Without Sarah's story, the district attorney has made it look like a plain case of bad blood between us. With me taking Carter for a ride.
What can I do?
Just go on living with Sarah and John. Use your time and opportunity to work on her. And maybe someday, you can get her to listen to me.
Well, I'll do it, darling. I'll do anything.
It'll be hard. It'll be hard on both of us. We won't be able to exchange letters.
Oh, no, darling. I've got to hear from
you. No, don't write. Pretend you've forgotten me. Otherwise, Sarah will always be jealous and never have.
I'll wait for you. We love you always.
In accordance with the laws of this case, my duty by reason of the verdict of a jury consisting of 12 men and women to pass sentence upon you for murder, which I do in accordance with such verdict. I hereby sentence you to spend the rest of your natural life in prison.
Those memories furnished a decade of fuel for Hendrick's hatred. While Hendrick Potanoff suffered his imprisonment, Sarah, too, had paid great penance. She had carried a guilt. But the tiny details that brought about the final humbling of her pride of circumstance were no mere coincidences. They were parts of a plan. A plan to set before Hendrick Potanoff an opportunity to overcome the sins of 20 years of hating.
Well, so you're my new cellmate, huh? My name's Hendrick. They call me Limpy. What's yours, sir?
William. They call me Bill.
Glad to know you, Bill. Just arrived today?
Yeah. You can tell that by this shaved head.
Mm-hmm. They'll call you Fish till it grows out of you. Sit down. I'll tell you a few things about your new boarding school.
Yeah?
A new man always gets the bottom bunk. You get up at 6, leave cells at 7, eat and work back in cells at 6. Lights out at 9. Baseball or church on Sunday. If you've made your task in the mill, 100 yards of good cloth. And then there's the two most important rules of all. The official rule, stop whatever you're doing and stand still when you hear one blast of a whistle.
Hey, what's that mean?
It's the gun blow's only warning before they shoot. And they fell to me.
And what's the second?
Our unwritten law. Don't be a stool, baby.
Well, thanks for the advice. You've been here long?
Nearly 22 years.
A whole lot of time. I'm only 21 years old.
Well, I'll have something to keep me up. What are you in for?
Me? Oh, hit and run. 1 to 5 years. It was really an accident, but I lost my head and drove off.
It was your first offense, or do you think your folks could have gotten you off on probation? You got a family?
Yeah. Just my mother and dad and Aunt Molly.
Molly? I knew a girl named Molly once. What's your dad?
Well, he's a banker. Number one citizen in our town. That's why he couldn't go to bat to help me. Everyone in Milford would have said he used his pull to get me off just because I was his son.
Mm-hmm. You're from Milford?
Yeah.
You've got an Aunt Molly? And your dad's a banker? Bill, what's your last name?
Hattie. William Hattie. They call me Bill. My father's name is John and mother's name is Sarah.
Yes, Hendrik Potanoff. I, fate, made your paths cross to give you a chance to prove yourself worthy of freedom. You have a choice for good or for evil. But if your decision be for evil, the end is certain. And now it is time for another entry. And when I have written, I will read from the record of Hendrik Potanoff in the Diary of Fate. Second chance. For evil done, payment is made in the coin of sorrow and pain that comes as surely as the dawn of tomorrow. The parole board believed your protestations, Hendrik Potanoff. You begged for one more chance. And now I, fate, intervene. A tiny twig, a gust of fitful wind, a letter unreceived. Sometimes mortal plans miscarry and themselves ensnare the plotters. If you, Hendrik Potanoff, were to become involved in a violation of the prison rules, your parole would be forfeit.
13202.
In.
54629. Here. Oh, let me. Well, let's see. Here's a letter for... you, William Hedick?
Yes, sir.
You can't have mail.
What?
I've got a ducat for you from the captain's office.
Yeah, but...
All your privileges are suspended for 30 days for failing to make task this week.
Yeah, but there's some mistake. I did make task. I made 10 yards over task.
Don't argue, fish. An officer checked the yardage. You were 10 yards short of task. You better make it next week or you'll get 30 days in the hole. Solitary confinement, fish. Ask Limpy. He can tell you all about it.
Why, you no good screw.
Hey, look. Listen to me. Don't worry about the hole. I'm the trusty gun. If you ever get sent there, listen for 3 taps on the ventilator. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you what to do to yourself.
Thanks. I don't mind losing the other privileges. It was probably from Mom and I... I haven't heard from her since I got here.
Oh, that's tough. But look, Bill. Next week, you'll make 20 extra yards. Then you can go see the captain. He'll give you your privileges back. So you'll only have to wait a week to get your letter.
He will. Yeah, but how can I make 20 yards extra? I worked as fast as I could this last week.
Oh, leave it to me. My pal Tony is the head loon tender in the mill. Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Mr. last week to help my pal Bill. Now I want you to give him the works. Fix him up a lightweight shuttle and a small gear in his room.
Yeah, he's not still picking. If he was caught there, I'd lose my good time. You'd lose your parole.
I'll vouch for Bill. You speed up his room.
You're my pal, Hendrick. I'll fix him up.
You got me.
Yeah, Mike, give him the weight. He gets the fastest room in the mill. Real fast, huh? Make lots of yards.
Week. Here's a ducat for you from the captain's office. Says you ruined 120 yards of cloth, state property.
Yeah, but it was good cloth, honest.
It was all thin. High-speed shuttles and gears were found on your loom in violation of the regulations. Where'd you get them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, wise guy. I'll come back as soon as I finish my count. And you can tell me who speeded up that loom or be ready to go to the hole.
30 days in the hole. Limpy, I've heard men die of consumption down there, go crazy, get shot. What do I tell them, Limpy?
That depends on whether you're regular or stool pigeon. You can squeal on me and Tony and save yourself a month in the hole.
Yeah, but you'd lose your parole.
That's right.
Shh, quiet, he's coming back.
Well, Eddie... Made up your mind to be sensible and talk, or do you go to the hole?
I'm no stool pigeon, screw. Let's go.
Yes, Hendrick Potanoff narrowly escaped his own trap. But it is written that no man can forever escape the reaping of his sowing. Unnoticed and unheeded, the threads of circumstance bind him to a doom as certain as his plan is evil. To William's confidence in him, Hendrick Potanoff then added a second factor of influence. His was the only voice William would hear.
Good. He didn't forget me.
Bill. Bill. You hear me?
Yeah. Oh, God, it's good to hear a voice. Okay, I guess. Just a fella's nothing to do. Can't see. It's black dark. Can't stand up straight. Can't stretch out. I don't know how long I've been here. I'm awful hungry. No, nothing. Not even bread. Just water. But it's sore because they found a small knife in my trousers. I don't know how it got there. What can I do?
Your water, wise guy. Pass out your bucket.
Now, you lousy screw, where's my food? You give me my food or I'll...
You're man. What? Threatening an officer, huh? Well, just for that, no water.
Hey, come back. Give me my water. Give me my food. Give me my food. Anything to get out of here.
Online.
in my eyes. It's blinding.
Paul! Paul! Hey,
Hendrick! Where are you, Hendrick? Hendrick!
Your plan was successful, Hendrick Potanoff. William Hedrick is dead. He made an easy target stumbling about in the blinding daylight. And no blame for William's death was attached to you by the prison authorities. But fate was waiting. Now the plan moved swiftly to its inevitable conclusion. And in a moment, I shall write the final entry on the page of Hendrick Potanoff in the Diary of Fate. Contains the seed of its own undoing. Perhaps a tiny thing, no greater than a sheet of paper. Before his death, and for fear that its contents would identify and set William on his guard against you, Hendrick Potanoff, you had arranged to prevent his receiving a letter. And now the delicate scales of justice were slowly nearing inevitable balance.
13202?
Yes.
Oh, Limpy. It's too bad about your stomach. You sure look happy, though.
Oh, why not? Tomorrow morning I go through the main gate, headed out.
Ah, good luck. Put this letter for your ex-cellmate with the rest of his belongings, will you? They'll be picked up and sent to his family tomorrow. So long.
A letter for William Hedrick. Probably from his dear mother. Warning him to beware of old acquaintance, Hendrick Potanoff. It's been a long time, sir, but I mean you. Let's see what you have to say. Dear Bill, I'm convicted. You sent the person. Do you know? Isn't from Sarah. It's from
me. Also was sent to prison. I've always loved him. And I'm still waiting for the day he comes out in the hope that we can live our remaining years happily together.
She loves him. She's waiting for me.
I've got my revenge on
him. I did, Mommy.
I want you to find him and show him this letter. His name is Hendrick Potanoff. Having unjustly suffered much himself, I know he will guide and counsel you. It's your time of punishment for not inhibiting towards the fact. It will return you to me, a wiser, more tolerant man. To me. To save you a great handicap in life, you have been raised as Sarah's son. Only she and I have known that you are not. When you get out, perhaps the three of us can spend many happy years together. But I am your real mother, Bill. And Hendrick Potanoff is your father.
No. No, 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 I didn't do it. It can't be true. He was my son. Mine and Molly's. And I killed him, my own son. I didn't know it. It wasn't my fault. It was Sarah's fault. She made me kill him. If it hadn't been for Sarah. Get away from me, Sarah Hedrick. You're the devil. You tricked me. Fate tricked me. Get
off that boat.
Hey, you, Hendrick, put that tool down. What's the matter with you? You blowing your top?
Get out of here, you fool, or I'll kill you.
Step out of it, Lippy. There's no one in there with you.
You trying to get me? Don't you think I just see hair? Sitting right there. She made me kill Bill, my son.
Listen, you screwball. Bill wasn't your son. He was just trying to escape. You didn't have anything to do with it. Now put that tool down. Don't you?
I wouldn't have killed him if it hadn't been for you, Sarah. You made me do it. And now I'm going to beat your brains out. Now I'm going to kill you.
Hey, that boy. Hey, that boy. Okay, boys. Come on, Ed. Bring the great jack. I'll grab him. Now, watch yourself. Put down that stool, Henry. Grab him,
boys. Yes, Hendrik Potanoff will pay for his crime in the still closer prison of a padded cell. For the rest of his life, he will each day scream in terror of his new cellmate, who will be with him always. A cellmate who cannot be paroled, nor killed. For with Pace has he created his own nemesis, an invisible, implacable, everlasting tormentor, fear. Now it is time to close the book. In the case of Hendrik Potanoff, as in the cases of all mortals, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. The little things that pass unnoticed are my instruments. You do not recognize my hand in this, and that is well. So, when the time for decision is at hand, ponder long and carefully. And remember, there is a page for you in the Diary of Fate.
The cast included Herbert Litton, Burl Wallace, Howard McNear, Barney Phillips, Irvin Lee, Ray Erlenborn, Ivan Ditmars, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley transcription, brought to you from Hollywood.